share our heart burden with you concerning the Philippines. There are sets of prayer cards in the table or on the table there. And if you haven't gotten one yet, please take one. And it'll remind you to pray for us. And greatly, we need prayers. And I want to say thank you to Preacher and his wife and their hospitality. They fed us lunch. And we just had Thanksgiving, basically, with turkey and gravy. And I don't want to get you hungry before, you know, because it's church. And you know how church is on Sunday nights. You really don't get that Sunday meal. But I'm telling you, when you eat like that, and you keep eating like that, you'll end up in a coma. You know, so. Really appreciate that. Both meals that we have had at the halls and Preacher, and you could taste the care that they put into their meal and everything. I appreciate that. Matthew chapter number 13. Matthew chapter 13. We're only going to look at one verse and draw from that one verse several points to consider. I want to speak to you just this brief moment on this topic, behold a sower. Behold a sower. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 3 says this, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow." And verse number 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 basically talks about the different kinds of soil that is intended to teach us what hearts are there to receive the Word of God. You know, and I'm not going to go over the four different kinds of soils, but right now, your heart is one of four soils. It's either good soil, it's either wayside, it's either hardened soil, the rock, or it's either the thorny grounds, etc. And the Bible explains itself when it talks about those things. I'm not interested in the four soils in this short time. What I am interested in is the sower. Behold, Jesus said, behold, the sower went forth to sow. And that's what I want to look at in these few minutes. I want us to consider the vital, important acts of sowing. Let's pray and ask God to bless. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that testifies to the truth of these things, that illuminates our hearts, that opens up our understanding, that opens up our eyes to see wondrous things out of your word, out of your law. So, Lord, I pray that you would comfort, that you would convict those that need convicting, those that need comforted, you would comfort. Draw us closer to you, and we'll give you all honor and praise and glory for the things that you will do through us, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. So, first thing is the singular task, and that is sowing. We find that, behold, Jesus said, the sower went forth to sow. That's what he did. He only did one thing, but that's the one thing that really matters. The sower was not concerned with the landscape. He was indiscriminate as he reached into the bag of seed, and we know the scriptures. The seed is the word of God. So the seed is good, right? And he just reaches in the bag and indiscriminately sows the seed. And it doesn't matter where it lands. That's not his business. It is not his business to wonder what happens to the seed when it's released. His one responsibility is sowing. And that's what I want to challenge you. As Christians, you are given the word of God. When you receive Jesus Christ, you receive the living word. When you read the King James Bible, you're reading the written word. Okay? So we're to take the seed of the word of God and cast it and spread the seed. We're not to worry about what the results are going to be. Our concern is that we do what we're supposed to do. Sow the seed. Speak a word for Jesus Christ. Let people know you're a Christian. Let them know that there is a Savior who loves them, who died on the cross for them. The blood is available. People need to know that. Even in short conversation, just throw in Jesus Christ. That's sowing. Paul puts it this way: for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And on, this principle is so important. Go and sow. Again, in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, he says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance." So our testimony will be more convincing if it's simple, unadorned, and unpolished. Just sow the word of God. Singular task. Number two, a sure task. Sowing. Again, the sure task is sowing. The singular task is sowing. The sure task is sowing. Let me ask you a question. When you do your ministry work, are you sowing the word of God? You know, when I was assistant pastor at Mount Zion Baptist Church, I would go up on visitations, right, on the weekends. Saturdays are pretty much visitation time. You visit bus children, you visit bus parents, you visit those in the hospital, you visit those who are interested in the church, prospect visits, follow-up visits, those who came to church and need attention, you visit people. You visit when you're a pastor. That's what you do. And but in my going, am I sowing? You see, as you visit others to encourage them, yes, you talk about the beautiful summer. Yes, you talk about the beautiful flower bed, if there is a beautiful flower bed. You know, you talk about the vegetables in the garden, great. But do you get to the gospel? Do you get to the good news of Jesus Christ? If anything else, do you leave them a Bible verse? You say, you know what, God spoke to my heart and he showed this to me in the scriptures. And you just leave that truth, that simple truth with them. What are you doing? You're sowing, you see. And you'll never know the results of that. And again, we're not worried about the results, but we make the Word of God available. Number three, the scattering task is sowing. Again, the point is going to be sowing, because I only have one verse, so might as well maximize this verse, right? But the third point, the scattering task. We are responsible to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to all different kinds of people. Don't be intimidated by anybody. The fear of man brings a snare. Sow everywhere. You can never witness to the wrong person. Yeah. Quickly, as my time is wrapping up here, think of the Valley of Bones that Ezekiel was called by God to preach to in Ezekiel chapter 37. You don't have to turn there. But in Ezekiel 37, the Holy Spirit brought Ezekiel to the Valley of Bones and said, "Now preach to the bones." Can you imagine Ezekiel if he was like you and me? We'd be like, "Lord, this is dead, dry bones. What business do I have to preach to them? Nothing's going to happen." You see, our unbelief is the hindering factor. And yet, in Ezekiel 37, verse 7, the Bible says this: "So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone." And you know the story, right? The flesh came, and now pretty soon the entire army rose. Why did God put that in the Bible? It's to show us that we are responsible to follow God's command to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to anybody. Even if you think it's impossible that this person's going to get saved, go ahead and obey God's command. Leave the results to God. Success in our sowing ministry has nothing to do with our skills, our talents, our ability, or even our own power. The responsibility is ours, but the reaping is from God. So far, you've seen the singular task, the sure task, the scattering task. Last, I want to leave you the sequence of the task. And this is it. When you sow, you will reap. But you cannot expect to reap if you do not sow. Should we be satisfied to see no results? If you were a farmer, and would you be satisfied in just sowing and not reaping? That doesn't follow, doesn't it? When you sow, you expect to reap. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sowing. What's the point? So for a Christian to be satisfied by not seeing God use them is abnormal. God wants to use you. The Bible still says this, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." My question is, are you burdened? Do you have a burden in your heart to sow? Do you have faith in God's word to go ahead and sow, even if you don't see the results of it? See, the seed is good, and that's the word of God. And whatever may be the results, the sower's seed has the power to produce the life. And you have to believe that. You can be misunderstood. You could be maligned. You could have been cussed at. Okay, fine. They could reject you. The worst thing they could say is no, thank you. They could lie about you, slander you. But what is all that if God could so work in their heart and save them from an eternal hellfire? I mean, come on. Do you have any personal, do you personally have any fruit? If not, and not by fruit, I mean you personally could see somebody saved. If you don't have personal fruit yourself, let me encourage you. Begin sowing. Begin believing that I just need to let them know, hey, do you know there's a Savior who died on the cross for your sins? I'm done. But I want to close with an illustration. My van broke down in Indiana some months ago, and it's just a common wear and tear on a vehicle. You know, you put in the miles and that kind of stuff. It happens. And so the young man who picked me up to take me back home from the dealership was a college kid, and, you know, he didn't know, you know, was majoring in math, a brilliant kid. And I said, you know, you're a very wise young person, but let me ask you a question. Do you know for sure if you died today you'd go to heaven? No, I don't know that for sure. I said, well, do you know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? Well, I've heard of that, you know. And I want you to know something. He loves you. The reason he died is because you're a sinner. And if you don't receive him as your Savior, he'll have to judge you. But he doesn't have to judge you. If you accept him, he'll become your Savior, not your judge. You know, something as simple as that. And I didn't have time. We just had a few seconds. And I don't know what God will do with that sowing. But that's not up to me. You know, just sow. Just speak a word for Jesus. That's all. Rely on God's power. Be thankful for a little result, if you see any. Be thankful for that. And then go in God's power. Trust in the power of His word. But let's sow. Even just something small. Let's sow. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Are you sowing? Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the challenge that we see in the scriptures. We thank you that your word is good. We can trust it, Lord. It's sometimes we lose focus on what we're supposed to do, and we confess that, and we admit that, and Lord, we want you to be glorified in our midst. Help us, Lord, in our conversations with people, especially if we know they're not saved. Help us to speak a word for Jesus, even if it's just a small invitation to church, that they may hear the good news. Even if it's a small gospel tract, that they may read the glorious news. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us in these things. Help us to be effective servants for you. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
the simple things.